Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Our scripture reading today, or readings, today draw us into one of the most important truths of the Christian faith. The kingdom of God is open to all people, but it is entered only through the narrow way of the cross. The message of Isaiah, the exhortation of Hebrews, and the teaching of Jesus all converge to remind us that salvation is not achieved by human effort or cultural heritage, but by the blood of Christ alone. Isaiah sees the day when God will gather all nations to himself. The author of Hebrews exhorts us to endure the struggle of faith here on earth, keeping our eyes on that heavenly Jerusalem. And Jesus warns us that the way is narrow, and that not everyone who assumes they belong will find entrance. Together, these readings call us to cling to the cross, for only there do we find eternal life. Isaiah the prophet declares a breathtaking promise from God. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. God's plan is not limited to Israel, not bound to any one people or culture. His salvation is for the whole world. The vision anticipates the Pentecost, when the apostles spoke in many tongues, declaring the wonders of God to people from every nation. It anticipates the missionary journeys of Paul, the spread of the gospel across continents, and even today, the growing church in Africa and Asia and Latin America. Isaiah tells us, "I will set a sign among them." But what is that sign that gathers these nations together? That sign is the cross. The cross, once a symbol of shame and death, has become the banner of salvation. Through the preaching of Christ crucified, the nations are drawn to God. Just as Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." For Isaiah, the future kingdom is not about ethnicity, privilege, or human status. It's about God's glory revealed through his saving work. In the kingdom, all nations will worship together. And that vision points us to the church of today, the diverse global body of Christ gathered under the cross. The letter to the Hebrews takes Isaiah's vision and urges us to live faithfully in light of it. The Christian life is described as a struggle, a race marked by discipline, hardship, and perseverance. As we read, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." These words remind us that following Christ is not easy. So why is it so difficult? Because the way of the cross contradicts our natural desires. We want glory without suffering, comfort without sacrifice, a wide path instead of a narrow gate. But we know God disciplines his children, and he's shaping us through that discipline, these trials, so that we may share in his holiness. But Hebrews does not leave us in despair. The writer lifts our eyes to the true destination. He says, "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Unlike Israel at Mount Sinai, who was trembling with fear, we come to the presence of God with joy, because Christ's blood speaks for us. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to be sprinkled with blood that speaks the better word than the blood of Abel, sin. The contrast is clear. Abel's blood cried out for vengeance, but Christ's blood proclaims forgiveness. Abel's murder revealed the curse of sin, but Christ's sacrifice removes that curse and reconciles us to God. His blood opens the kingdom for us. Therefore, Hebrews calls us to endure. Do not refuse our God who speaks. Do not grow weary. Do not settle for this world when God has promised a heavenly city. The kingdom we receive is unshakable. Everything else, our possessions, our achievements, and even the nations themselves, will all pass away. But the kingdom of God endures forever, because it was established in the blood of Christ. So if Isaiah shows us this global invitation, and Hebrews shows us the endurance of faith, Jesus in Luke 13 shows us the sobering warning. Not everyone who thinks they belong will enter the kingdom. As he journeys towards Jerusalem, the place of his crucifixion, Jesus teaches about the narrow door. Someone asks, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" Notice that Jesus does not answer with a number. Instead, he turns the question back to his hearers. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. You see, the issue is not the curiosity about whether others will be able to get into the kingdom of God. It's about the urgency for ourselves to be entered into that kingdom. The narrow door is Christ himself, and more specifically, Christ crucified. Salvation is not found in religious heritage. We read that we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. An indication that they were following religious practice. It is not found there, nor is it found in human achievement or effort. It is found only in trusting Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. Jesus warns that some will be shocked to find themselves left outside. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are hard words, but they remind us that God's kingdom is not entered by assumption. The way is narrow because it excludes pride, self-reliance, and unbelief. I want you to remember that the next time you run into someone that tells you they're a good person and they're going to get into heaven because they're a good person. Not how it works. Kindly share with them that pride, which is what they're exhibiting, self-reliance, also what they're exhibiting, and unbelief are the keys to eternal separation from God, not to the heavenly kingdom. Yet here we also find an astonishing promise. People will come from the east and west and north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. This is Isaiah's vision fulfilled. The table of God's kingdom is not limited to one group, but is filled with people from every corner of the earth. And they are gathered not because they were first in the world's eyes, but because they trusted Christ. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. When we bring these readings together, the message is clear. The cross of Christ is the way into the kingdom of God. Isaiah shows us the cross is the sign that gathers the nations. Hebrews shows us that the cross is the blood that speaks a better word than the blood shed by people. And it opens that heavenly Jerusalem to us. And Luke shows us that the cross is the narrow door. The cross itself is how we enter into heaven. So this is both a warning and a comfort. The warning is that we cannot enter the kingdom on our own terms. We cannot rely on tradition, culture, personal merit. The door is narrow. The comfort is that the door is open. Christ has made the way for us. His cross is for all nations. His blood speaks forgiveness. His kingdom is unshakable. So how do we live in light of this? Well, first, we live as people of the cross. This means daily repentance, laying down our pride, confessing our sins, and trusting in Christ alone. It means embracing sacrifice, knowing that the Christian life involves endurance and discipline. Second, we live as people of hope. Hebrews reminds us that we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Even in the struggles of this world, our citizenship is secure. We do not fear when the world shakes, for our kingdom cannot be shaken. Third, we live as witnesses to the nations. Isaiah's vision compels us to proclaim Christ to all peoples. The cross is not a private treasure, but a global message. We are called to carry the gospel to our neighbors, our communities, and even to the ends of the earth. And finally, we live as people who long for the feast. Jesus pictures the kingdom as a banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every time we gather at the Lord's Supper, we taste this promise. We recline at the table with the crucified Jesus, receiving his very body and blood. The very blood that speaks the better word. So the cross of Christ is the way into the kingdom of God. The nations are gathered by a sign, the cross. The heavenly city is opened by its blood, the blood of the cross, Jesus crucified, And that narrow door is marked by its shape. Let us take up our cross and follow him. Let us endure that race, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And let us invite all nations, all neighbors, to come and see his glory. And let us look with joy to the day when we will recline at that table in the kingdom of God, in the city of the living God, forever. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us